You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I want to give you a small update, short update, about the story in the news, namely the death of Associate Justice Scalia and the circumstances surrounding that death. And I covered it yesterday, so I'm not going to go over it, except what's interesting is the mainstream media has not really focused on what happened or didn't happen on that ranch and what should have happened. They've more or less accepted the fact that he's died of natural causes, which I believe he did too. But believing is not knowing. And usually when you're dealing with someone that's, first of all, in office, a very important office that has and is hearing cases involving the American people and cases that where you're going to, no matter how you rule, you're going to have people that agree with you and disagree with you, and some of them really disagree with you. And in those circumstances, especially when you're dealing with judges, the assumption going in, it should be not that he died of natural causes, but he died of a homicide until proven otherwise. And that's what that wasn't done, in the sense that in cases like this, it should be almost automatic that you do an autopsy. Remember, he wasn't at home. That's important. He was alone. He didn't have an attending physician on hand. And the key thing, which I emphasized yesterday, was found with a pillow over his head. And some people are concluding maybe he was smothered. That's not an unreasonable suspicion. So in cases like this, you should do an autopsy. A medical examiner, someone that's competent, should do the autopsy. That has handled these cases over and over again. That wasn't done. They sent it to a local, sent his body to a local funeral home, and then it was embalmed, shipped back to his home in Maryland. Friday, he will lie in repose at the Supreme Court, and there will be funeral services Saturday. He's survived by his wife of 45 years, 9 children, 28 grandchildren, and may rest in peace. But because of the way this was mishandled by justices of the peace, procedures and laws were not followed. And I'm not trying to be a Monday morning quarterback here. The more I check out this person, I'm shaking my head. First, she said it was a heart attack. Then she backed off that statement. The reason why she backed off, she has no basis. That's an assumption. You're not supposed to assume anything. So a lot of people are calling, and I'll add my name to this, for a complete investigation, starting in Texas. Remember, this crime occurred in the state I'm doing this radio broadcast from. A thorough and complete investigation as to why this was so mishandled. I know the family did not want an autopsy. I understand why families would object to that. And I know there's a lot of grounds for saying it was natural causes. But when you're dealing with a sitting judge at the highest level of justice, you don't assume anything. You do a complete, thorough investigation, including an autopsy. That was not done. And because it was not done, we'll never know. And what happens, we'll have continued speculation. And I call it, this is a perfect storm for the birth of conspiracy theories. And what you need to understand, even though there's only a very small, small probability that there was foul play, and let me be more precise, that he was murdered, even though that's a very small probability, you have to rule it out. That's why we have medical examiners. Homicide detectives, when they investigate a crime scene, they assume it's homicide until they can rule it out. And we did not have a homicide investigation, didn't have an autopsy that would aid in that investigation, didn't have an inquest or inquest hearing, and it's all set out in law. I'm writing an article that'll appear in next Tuesday's Richland Chronicle on this. And I almost didn't write it. I almost said, well, very few people are even questioning this. And I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've never been to that ranch. I wasn't on site. I don't know how severe his health problems were. It's clear that he was overweight, obese. I know in the past he smoked a pipe. I don't know if he continued smoking the pipe. I don't know if he was using alcoholic beverages. It's really none of my business. But the problem you run into when you're dealing with prominent people, and this is a very prominent person that has enemies as well as friends, and really would like to see him dead. In that case, I think the default setting should be assume it's a homicide, do a complete, thorough investigation, rule it out, and then make your report, your findings known, so we don't have what we're having today, a lot of speculation. And the only reason I didn't give up on this article is it was kind of depressing, because I'm under a deadline. Usually our stories have to be in by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And that meant if I were going to write a completely new article, I'd have to pick a subject and then research it and prepare. I do opinion pieces. I don't do investigative journalism or news. I do opinion pieces. And there are several things that I seriously considered doing. I only jumped on this because I had that nagging question. What jumped out at me was the pillow over his head. If the witness that found him, the owner of the ranch, had not said that, I would have thought he died of natural causes. He was 79 years old. He's getting up there in age. I'm younger than him, but I'm overweight, and I know it, and I know I need to do something about it. I start, I stop, and I'm going to start again real soon. And I know the temptation. You get pleasure from eating, and it's obvious he enjoyed eating. And maybe other vices that I don't know about. But what I'm trying to say is don't encourage this rampant speculation and conspiracy theories. If anything, stop it. Head it off at the pass. And what you got to remember, occasionally you're going to be surprised. The person was murdered. It could be personal motive or something that you're totally unaware of. So that's my brief update on that news event. I guess what's discouraging is the mainstream media, your television networks, have moved on. Nothing here move on. And what they're talking about is who Obama will nominate to be Justice Scalia, the late Justice Scalia's replacement. I don't know. I've heard stories that it could be Attorney General Loretta Lynch. She's a black female, and I understand he wants to appoint a black, and because she went through fairly recently congressional hearings regarding her background, and she was confirmed as Attorney General, that it would be easier to appoint her or nominate her. What I think is lost in all this discussion is that the Senate has to advise and consent. In other words, they have to give their approval. And because there's less than a year to go in the Obama administration, they want whoever is elected the next president to make that appointment. And that could be either a Democrat or a Republican. They don't have to schedule a vote on it, and they can delay and delay it. Or they could schedule a vote and it be turned down. I think it partially is going to be really determined as to who he nominates. But Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader, has made it very clear he's not going to have a vote. So what's going on here? And I'll get into this in more detail and sometime in the future when we actually have a person that President Obama nominates. An election year issue will be and it will be used by both the Democratic and Republican parties as an issue, a wedge issue, with the Democrats saying that President Obama, under the Constitution, is entitled to his pick. Well, he's entitled to nominate someone, but that it's not an automatic that that person goes on the court. Why, in the past, very few justices have not been voted onto the court. The most famous one is Judge Bork, and in my mind, that was a great loss to this country. But the Democrats played politics and ultimately defeated him. So politics are played by both parties and will be played by the Republican Party, although I have really no faith in the Republican Party anymore and their leadership. They more or less have gone along with what Barack Obama wants, and that's why you're seeing today that the American people are revolting, both in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party, against the leadership of both parties. They don't trust him anymore. They're sick of being lied to. And Washington is out of control. It's worse than even I imagined, although I think I'm on more on top of this than most people. And what I'm alluding to is government spending is totally out of control. And what's going on is what's called unconventional monetary policy, where the Federal Reserve is arbitrarily, as far as I'm concerned, suppressing interest rates. It's called financial repression, is the term. Repression is a technical term for screwing the American people, in particular savers and investors. They've followed a what's called ZIRP, zero interest rate policy, and kept the federal funds rate at 25 basis points from December of 2008 through December of last year. You see, what has happened because of this policy, as well as quantitative easing, printing of money, or creating the creation of money. Now, they stopped doing that, at least for now. If the economy goes in another recession, they will begin printing money. And what is the impact of this so-called unconventional, unprecedented monetary policy? It screws up. It misallocates resources. And as a result, you have the mispricing of assets. Now, I'm not going to do the show on this, but what the bottom line is this. What is the Federal Reserve doing? It's two essential things. It's enabling the federal government to continue on year after year running up massive deficits in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of billions of dollars, excuse me. You know, $1 million is $1 million is 1 million followed by six zeros. $1 billion is a one followed by nine zeros. It's 1,000 million is 1 billion. And $1 trillion is one followed by 12 zeros, or 1,000 billion. Now, once you get over really a million, most people have difficulty comprehending the number. Our government is simply spending way too much money. They've made promises that they can't keep. And we're not seeing really any leadership in Washington to fundamentally change that situation. It's very, very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Technically, what the government is doing is defaulting. Not that they won't pay the interest or the principal. They'll pay the interest and principal. But the money you get back, if you're foolish enough to invest in U.S. Treasury securities, will be worth less and less every year you hold the asset. In other words, you're getting less and less purchasing power. You're not getting paid for the risks that you're assuming. See, at one time, not too long ago, government securities, especially U.S. Treasury securities, were described as risk-free. Not anymore. Not when the government is printing money. They're trashing cash. Cash is trash. Now, they're gradually doing this, hoping you don't notice it. It is a hidden tax. So not only do they tax you, they borrow money. And then the third step is they engage in these unconventional monetary policies that are engaged in by the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States. And they're buying until about a little over a year ago, they stopped doing this. They were the first, not the buyer of last resort, the buyer of first resort of Treasury securities. And the problem is it's happening all over the world. You're not unique to the central bank because whether you know it or not, we're in a currency war. And all your developed countries are devaluing their currency. For the United States, that's the dollar. Why? to increase exports. Because to the extent that you succeed in devaluing the money, you make our goods and services cheaper relative to someone that's buying it from a foreign country. We're back to really the beggar thy neighbor policies of the 1930s. It doesn't end well. And the central bankers are really out of ideas. Because this is fundamentally very much a political problem, and it means cutting back on government spending, getting our fiscal house in order. Now, I'm giving this as sort of a lead-in to what I'm going to be talking about. Now, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and I don't know if he has a producer that looks at my stuff. I'm sure he's not listening to the show. But he said he was kind of poo-pooing the idea that philosophy doesn't matter. Who cares what philosophy it is? You know, what matters is getting elected. And if you have candidates, and I'm talking about Donald Trump, I know he's not a conservative. He's certainly not a libertarian. But he's in the lead. Who cares what his philosophy is? Because his supporters don't care. Many of them are conservatives, and no, he's not a conservative. I also got a laugh. I was listening to a clip of Jeb Bush saying he's a conservative. Now, I think he believes that because he ran balanced budgets, which all state governors have to do anyway, when he was in Florida. I don't consider the Bush family conservatives. They're what I would have described as a liberal Republican. And in the 60s, 70s, a Rockefeller Republican or a country club Republican. They were never conservatives. Now, to get elected, they try to fool you, but they're not. And I always say one of the tests of a whether or not someone is for limited government, and don't confuse, there's a couple of points here. The Republican Party is not a conservative party. Get that through your head. Both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are big government parties. That's why I'm no longer Republican, never was a Democrat, no longer Republican, and I really have a choice either staying home or maybe helping someone else try to start a third party. And it's really not going to happen until over 50% of the people that used to be Democrats or Republicans declare themselves as independents, and then we get several hundred, if not 1,000 or more, very wealthy people to invest in and try to start a third party. I'm very tired of not having anyone to vote for. I look back, and really, the only conservative / libertarian that I could vote for was Ronald Reagan. Now, don't tell me about the Libertarian Party. I know all about them, but they seldom get more than 1% of the vote. That's their problem. You need to have a party that attracts the majority of the American people, and defining it as libertarian is not going to do that. There are no purists. There are no perfect candidates. There's no perfect party. People disagree about the issues. That's why for many shows I gave you four candidates that I said I could vote for. I wasn't endorsing them. I was just saying if the vote were today and one of these people were on the ballot, I could vote for them. I didn't even say I would. I just said I could. But there are many candidates that I will never vote for. I'll stay home. Or if they're a candidate, let's say running for Senate or Congress that I support, I would vote for them, but not at the top of the ticket. What I usually do then is simply stay home. I've noticed something very interesting. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's really noticeable, at least in Dallas, and I suspect all over Texas, and maybe all over the United States. What I've noticed is we have a number of congressmen that are running for re-election. They're up for re-election every 2 years. But now they're running usually 30-second spots on various talk show on their breaks. They're talking conservative. I think they're running scared and have been told in no uncertain terms, you better make it clear to the Republican base that you're interested in them. Well, that's making some progress, but what I'm more interested in is an action on bills when Congress is in session. You know, talk is talk. I want to see you walk the walk. And some of these are good people, but they've been there forever, and that's the problem with most of them. I think they're really running scared. Well, that's good. I hope they run real scared, because it looks like I'm not coming out. Now, let me get back to what was going to be the focus of the show. You need to first answer the question, and it's key, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but the way I start out, can you trust the person? And another way to say that, does this person have character, integrity? Is he believable, or is he just trying to tell you what you want to hear? That's an important question. It's not an easy question to get a really answer on, because I've been fooled by people. I'm sure you have. But at least start with that question, because that saves you a lot of time, because you know if you're dealing with someone that has a reputation for being dishonest, misleading, lying to you. Don't, even if you like the person, he agrees with you on the issues, don't vote for him. You can't trust him. You know what he's going to do? He's not predictable. And remember, this is very much, you're not a member of the club. They're in the club, want to stay in the club, and the only way they can stay in the club is every 2 years or 6 years for a senator, they have to ask you for your vote. And if you want to get their attention, vote them out of office. That's the only thing they understand. I don't like what you're doing. I'm voting you out of office, and you have to do that. So answer that. Try to answer to the best of your ability the trust question. The next thing I look at, and this is really the subject of this brief show, I can't run past six, so I'm somewhat limited. So this will be a fairly short show because I was writing that article. What is their political philosophy? Now, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a classical liberal. I believe in limited government. That's my political philosophy. And Rush was saying, well, that's not important. Who cares what your political philosophy is? And if you know the political philosophy of the candidates, that doesn't mean they're going to win. And I agree with him. It doesn't. But you should know what you're dealing with. And what you'll unfortunately discover, the majority of Republicans and Democrats, they're not for limited government. They're really not conservatives. They're collectivists. They're for big government. And the only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is what they want to spend the money on. Also, how they want to pay it. So if you start, and I don't like the left-right paradigm, but you always hear he's on the left or the right. In the 1930s and 40s in the Democratic Party, you had communists, progressives, and liberals. They were contending for power. Today, most of the Democrats are either socialist or progressives. There are some that are still liberal, but they're becoming fewer and fewer. In other words, the new left that's now in power is very much a far left party. They're collectivists. They want huge government. They don't want to stay out of your lives. Their answer to every problem is another government program to be paid by another tax, regulated by more and more bureaucrats telling you how you have to do what you need to do. And they know best. And you don't. You're stupid. And we need big government to protect you from yourselves. So they want to grow government. And if that's what you want, and if you want to be dependent on government, the Democratic Party, that's your party. But just remember, they're taking your money. There's no such thing as government money. It's your money. They talk class warfare, sock it to the rich type philosophy. And that's for suckers. And who's the sucker? You are, sucker. Because unless you're dirt poor, indigent, you're going to be paying more and more taxes. They're going to be taking more and more of your money to give to other people. That's the Democratic Party. So if you think you want a life of living on welfare, that's your party. Now let's talk about the so-called right or conservative right. Usually you'll see left in the United States, they'll call it liberal. They're not. They're progressives or socialists. On the conservative right, there's still some liberals that are Republican liberals, so-called rhinos. And they want you to think they're conservative, but they're not. Because if they were conservative, would we have balanced budgets? Yes. Do we have balanced budgets? No. You see, both parties are using taxes, debt, and that unconventional monetary policy that I was referring to grow and finance the size of government. And the second thing they do is make sure the banks are solvent and take care of them first. What unconventional monetary policy does is destroy American savings and investments. Now, before you and people that rely on that, especially older people, people on fixed incomes, know what I'm talking about. So the mess we're in, and it is a mess, and there will be a day of reckoning because you can't continue doing this. Neither political party is going to help you. That's why I rule out Jeb Bush, John Kasich, Chris Christie is out of the race, and to a lesser extent, Marco Rubio. Rubio's problem is he got sucked in by the Gang of Eight. And what you need to understand with, and there have been many polls on this, the American people want illegal immigration stopped, and those that are here illegally, and there are 30 to 50 million of them, to go home. And the political elitist establishment, they want to make those illegal alien citizens. The Democrats make no bones about it. They want amnesty or pathway to citizenship. First step, be legalization. And the leadership of the Republican Party, they want to do this legally, but they want to increase the number of legal immigrants from 1 million to 2 million and then 3 million. In other words, they don't really care what you want, both parties. They know this hurts the American people. Both parties know it. They don't care. And that's my point. You need to wake up to that. And many people are asleep in both parties. And my final point, because I am running out of time, and I do apologize, because I wanted to spend a lot more time. And before I forget, the way you listen to this show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And right below it, you'll have links to all my shows. But below that, you'll have notes. And I have a lot of notes for this, a lot of images trying to explain what I've just gone over, and some very excellent videos. So if you have an open mind, have some time, please spend your scarce time and listen to several of these videos so you understand where I'm coming from. And here's the conclusion, and I have 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds to make it. It doesn't matter whether you vote Democrat or Republican, whether it's Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, or somebody else. Nothing's going to change in Washington. This is very much a rigged game. Why? You only have two choices. You vote Democrat or Republican. There's going to be no fundamental change, no hope. The status quo will continue until the people rise up, form a third party, and remember, I'm not calling for revolution here. What I'm calling for is a third party to elect representatives that represent them. Because neither party today, Democrats or Republicans, have the interest of the American people at heart. That's why you see in the Republican Party the success of Donald Trump, and in the Democratic Party the success of Bernie Sanders. The people, and that's what I would call a protest vote. I know Donald Trump is not a conservative. There are certain parts where he is, but there are others he's not. He's been described as a populist. I think that's right. I think what he's after is to get enough Republicans as well as enough Democrats to vote for him that agree with his position on immigration, although I think it's flawed if you really listen to what he says. Can't get into that, but you got to be careful what he says. Because why he wants to deport him, he wants to turn around and then import him. I'm not for that. And I think the majority of the people, if they truly knew that, wouldn't be for it. But he's a popular candidate. He's trying to attract, and he will attract, about 40% of the white vote, primarily males, but also females. Remember, he won virtually all demographics in New Hampshire, and we'll see what he does in South Carolina this Saturday. What I think you're seeing, you can tell by Donald Trump's rhetoric. When he has a competitor that's near him, he starts punching and saying things that, quite frankly, I think are counterproductive. He's in a close race with Ted Cruz. That's why he's calling Ted Cruz a number of names. He's a liar. He's a Canadian. Donald Trump is panicking. He doesn't want to be a loser. He wants to be a winner, and he thinks by spouting off like that, he'll confuse enough of you that are for Ted Cruz or other candidates to vote for him. You see, what your political philosophy is irrelevant. And the same for the candidates. It's whether or not you know how to win, how to play the game, how to articulate a message that will get you the majority. And there are some candidates that do that and stay by their principles, and there are some people that will tell you what you want to hear. And that includes Donald Trump. Now, some of what he tells you, I agree with. Others, watch out. He's a sly fellow. So many people think Donald Trump is going crazy. I don't. He knows how to play the game. He's kicking butt and taking names. That's what he's about. And that appeals to people, especially when they think their party has lied to them, deceived them, is ignoring them. And guess what? Both parties are doing that. Donald Trump is not hard to figure out. He has figured out how to win, though. And like I said last show, as long as this race on the Republican side, there's 3, 4, or 5 people running, Donald Trump wins. It's only if it's a two-party race, that's the last thing he wants, between him and, for example, Cruz, does Donald Trump, I think, ultimately lose. And he doesn't want to lose. I don't think and I'm fairly confident of this, that he's nothing like Russ Perot. Russ Perot never wanted to be president. I was in Dallas. I knew that. He dropped out. He got back in the race. But the point was, he never wanted to be president. Donald Trump wants to be president. He wants to win. He doesn't want to lose. And because of that, he will say things that to the average voter, he's going crazy. He shouldn't be saying these things. Yet it appeals to a large percentage of the voter base because they've had it with both parties. Now, the final point is, let's say Donald Trump wins. He's one person. Okay, he's president. The establishment will be against him. Oh, they'll play a game and try to work with him to a certain extent. But nothing fundamentally is going to change. And one of the problems is we have a lot of people that are progressives in the Republican and Democratic Party and in the media. They want to intervene. They want to grow government, and they want to intervene abroad and in the United States. And unfortunately, that includes Donald Trump. So if you're betting the farm that Donald Trump is your person, I think ultimately you're going to be very disappointed. So that's why I always say, ask the question about trust or character, ask the question about political philosophy, and then, and only then, see where the candidates stand on the issues. A few of the issues will be deal killers. Like for me, if you're not pro-life, I'm not voting for you. If you're not for enforcing immigration law, I'm not for you. But everyone has their issues, but there's no perfect candidate. My candidate has withdrawn. Actually, several of them have. So I don't really have a candidate. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but the people I can vote for are now down to one, and that's Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz is giving Donald Trump a run for his money. The only question is, can he close the gap, especially starting 1 March with Super Tuesday? With that, I have to close the show, and I will with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.